Good afternoon and welcome to our afternoon sermon service together. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I want to welcome again all of our visitors who are here today. Thank you for making this time together part of your day. Thank you. Enjoyed the sermon this morning. Love the Ephesians 6, how it talked about standing. We talked about the armor of God. We talked about having shoes of the gospel and peace. So as we read through Matthew 9, I think I see all Christians, right? Everybody here, I'm going to assume, has made a commitment to Christ. And if you haven't, that's okay. For now, I recommend it. So put that in this light. This is the message from Jesus. We're going to read Jesus' own words, right, mostly to his disciples. We're going to make comparisons and some contrast as we read through chapter 9 together in Matthew. And let's start at the end of the chapter. So my journey on how we came to this chapter is we're thinking about a missions trip tonight, 4:30, chili auction, chili dinner with an auction for the Jamaica trip, the Bible class, love all your support. And we're thinking of a theme, and I think our theme verse is going to be verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the verse prior to that, then he said to disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, and the laborers are few. And the verse before that, 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Christ was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. So then I start asking myself, where's my compassion? Do I have Christ's compassion? Or am I like a Pharisee? Or am I like the crowd? Or am I like the doubting funeral singers? Where is our compassion? Let's start in the verse. So as we read through Matthew, you know, let's sing together. As we read through Matthew 9, we're going to be thinking about compassion and ask the questions, do we have Christ's compassion? As I heard Ron preach this morning about having the shoes of the gospel of peace, right? This chapter, as I read it, as we break it down today, would fall under that category. We'd be putting on our shoes of gospel and peace. Do we have Christ's compassion? Let's sing 220, Boundless Mercy, out of the Zion's Harp. 220. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you in the great name of Jesus, the risen Messiah, who showed his great love, his great mercy, his great compassion, not only in his actions in life, but by dying on the cross and rising again, desiring for all to come to the redemption of you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to pray first we just want to pause and worship you, Lord, acknowledging that you are God, we are not, confessing that you desire us, Lord, confessing that we don't always desire you in our flesh, and then the war of the flesh and wanting to make ourselves our own gods, Lord, just heal us from that disease. Lord, we want to pray next just for Maria Bloom, and she's in the hospital here, and for her family and her parents, and the tragedy of an accident. And Lord, we know you will deliver her. We request it'll be on this side of Jordan. Lord, we pray for our Sunday school. Lord, we pray for laborers of the harvest, of your harvest. Lord, you send out laborers in your harvest. Lord, I pray that this church, us right here, that we will be your laborers. I pray that our Sunday school will become laborers, will be laborers, not just to Jamaica for a week, Lord. But as long as we breathe on this earth, that we will labor for you, Lord. That is our request. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen. All right, chapter 9, Matthew, compassion. The verse there in boundless mercy. Give me, Lord, sympathy and mercy with my poor brethren in distress, my bitterest foe, to love and pity thy love and death. Thou didst confess thy blood for sinners does implore compassion, grace forevermore. Not only that we'll have compassion for our brothers, right? And we need some more of that as we have different personalities, different ages, different dynamics here in this indie church, in the Roanoke church, in the Bluffton church. We need to have compassion for each other, understanding. We need to do better. But how about for even not our brothers? What about for the lost sinners? How about for the politician with the evil eye that Ron mentioned of? How people who hurt? How about for people who hurt us? That we'll have compassion. Let's find out who Jesus has compassion for in chapter 9. Compassion, by the definition, is sympathy or a pity concerning for the suffering of misfortune of others. The definition also refers to the feelings and the actions that stem from the feelings feelings of empathy, a desire. I really appreciated this definition: the desire to migrate pain, the desire to migrate pain. And I believe that's the kind of compassion we'll see in chapter 9, right? You know somebody, you love somebody, and there's going to be pain, and you want to migrate it. Christians, sisters, brothers, church, right? Aren't we all destined for eternity of pain before we meet Christ? Isn't our neighbors, our co-workers, our families, our loved ones destined for a destination of eternal pain? That is so tragic. That is so sad. We know what that feels like. We were on that trajectory. We are no longer. We are no longer. We have hope. We have promise. All right, let's read. We're going to read this section by section, and draw truths and the theme of compassion in and out of Matthew 9. And he entered into the ship and he passed over and came to his own city. So he comes home, and behold, there brought to him a man sick of palsy lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, there are certain of the scribes, and within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven,' or say, 'Arise and walk,' but that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go thine house, and to thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. But the multitude saw it, and marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. So he just gets to his own city here, and there's a man with palsy he's brought. So where do we lie in this story? Where do you lie today in this story? Where do you want to lie in this story? So the first one is, who brought the man? Who brought the man to Jesus? I think that's who we want to be. We want to be people bringing them to Jesus. We want to be the friends who are willing to say, "Listen, Jesus has the answer." Jesus, it's the Sunday school answer, but it's so true. Jesus has the answer. What's your problem? Jesus is the answer. What's your problem? Jesus is the answer. It's simple. Not always easy. But it's simple. And the truths are all laid out in His holy word. And they brought a man, and then he says, "Hey, be of good news, your sins are forgiven." So I wonder if this was a palsy, and what was the thought of the day, that you're sick, so you must be a sinner because you're not normal. You must be cursed by God because you have some sort of sin. And then who does Jesus to say that your sins are forgiven? Because this is obviously a sinner because they're sick with palsy, whatever that looked like. And what was the scribe's reaction? What? He just forgave sins. Was there doubt? Was there jealousy? I think we're going to see a lot of jealousy as we read through Matthew 9. The definitions of jealousy is feeling or showing envy for someone of their achievements and advances. A fiercely protective or vigilance of one's rights or possessions. So the scribes have status quo. They are the top dog. And all of a sudden this Jesus has all this advances. They are taking away of who they are. Is how they're seeing this all backwards. These are the protectors of the Holy Word. Right? This is what you can see the judgmental church being today. Full of jealousy. Not sharing. And so then they just think in their hearts, Christ knows all things, He sees their hearts, and then He heals. He heals this man. Why does He heal them? So that everybody knows that He can forgive sins. That's the good news. That's the good news we hear today. That's the good news we put on our feet, and we take it out beyond these walls. Jesus heals our sins. Not that you're a sinner, that Jesus heals our sins. And then you got the crowds, right? And I think we're more. I don't think we're at threat of being the scribes here. I look out at all your beautiful faces. I look in the mirror at this face, and I don't see scribes. I don't think you're scribes. I don't think we're scribes. I think some of us are bringing people to Jesus. Right, some of us, when we share God's word, in a sense, we're giving the good news. Right, we can be the agents of forgiveness. We can be the agents of truth. Right, we're not God. We're not Christ, but we're His church. He wants the church to be about His work, proclaiming and teaching. So we can be it in that sense. But you got the crowds, and they saw it, and they marveled, and they glorified God, which had given such men power unto men. Are we the crowds? I think this is our biggest risk. out of the categories in this first section, that we're the risk of being the crowds. Yes, that's so great. Praise God. But they don't have the compassion. Where's the crowd's compassion? They're on the sideline. There is a place. Hey, this is magnificent. Glorifying God and worshiping God is great. That should always be done. Don't hear me. Don't think I'm saying don't just do that. That should always be done. But where's our compassion? As you read Matthew 9 in the verse about praying for laborers, there's the co-chapter or a different story when Jesus quotes this is in Luke 10. And both, if we don't have time, we won't get there. But if you go to the 10, if you go to Matthew 10, it's going to talk about when he calls the disciples, right? And when you go to Luke 10, after saying the verse about praying for laborers, he takes the 70 and he sends them on their way. There's this process of becoming the crowd to the follower. The crowd to the follower. And church, we need compassion. You want motivation for this? We need compassion. Look, we don't share all our stories, right? We don't. Especially here in America, we're kind of a closed culture. Individualism, own might, are virtues in our culture. But if we open up, we need each other's compassion. Crowd to follower, full of compassion. Oh, 9 through 13. And as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what thou meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We'll come back to that. Let's turn. You can turn if you want to Hosea 6. Christ, I think, is quoting Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea is in the time where Israel is in the process of being carried away to Assyria and Judah to Babylon, a time of the rebellion. The prophet calling for returning to the Lord. Verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth and prepared as the morning, and he come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Therefore have I hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. We read through the first 6 verses. Right? Ephraim, Israel, Judah, they had goodness, but it was like the morning cloud. It was like the morning dew. It doesn't last. It's there briefly and gone. There briefly and gone. Kind of reminds me of the crowd. And then it goes, let's finish the chapter, then it goes to worse, right? This goes to the evil of the day. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is the city of them that worketh iniquity, and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man to the company of priests, so, let me read 9 again. As the troops of robbers wait for a man, right? Think about that, being robbed, being ambushed. So is like. So, the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. Therefore is a whoredom of Ephraim. Israel's defied. O Judah, also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. And we can see that that would be the church in hypocrisy, the church in the church leaders in lewdness, and the treacherers thereof. Let us not be named in that last group. Let us know and claim for the truth that what God desires, right? Going back to Matthew 9, God desires mercy. God desires knowledge of God. What does God want? He wants you to have mercy. He wants you to have God's knowledge. The story of Matthew. Is there such a hated group in that day as the tax collector? Is there a more hated group than the tax collector? Maybe. I'm not going to sit here and give a list of possible hated groups that we have in our culture. I'm not going to. But there's no more hated group or perceived hated group than the Matthews. How are we to react to Matthew? Jesus sees him and calls him. We don't know Matthew's history. What was Matthew's history? How did this Jewish young boy become a tax collector? What took him from his journey? What pains did he suffer in his life, or in his childhood, or his young adulthood, that would lead him to greed, that would lead him to betrayal of his country? We don't know. Neither do we know the story of our neighbors. We don't know. We don't know their whole story. Maybe that's how we put our shoes on. Let's just go find out their story. Do they trust you enough? Do they trust you to tell you their story? Does your coworker trust you to blabber? Has anybody ever said, I don't know why I'm telling you this? Right, they go on and they're telling you this stuff, this personal stuff, and they're like, oh, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I am. Have you had that yet? You need that. You should have that. You want a tangible goal? Have somebody say, I don't know why I'm telling you this. What kind of posture do we walk around with? What are you communicating? Fantastic. Right, as you know, we had a minister retreat, and we talked a lot about communications. And we talked about how we communicate. And it can be an unfortunate fact that we can be miscommunicated. We can be miscommunicated. But it's a miscommunication. But it's kind of our fault. We can't change it. But I intended this to be communicated. Too bad. You communicated this, right? With the congregation. And so we're working on some of our communications. The same way, church, is you're held responsible for how you communicate to your neighbor, to your fellow brother. How are you communicated? How is this perceived? You're held responsible. We can do better. We can be intentional and work on our communications. And we can talk to each other. We can talk. Because I think we have a good heart. And I think we have good intentions. And I don't think we mean to hurt each other. And I don't think we mean to hurt our neighbors. I think we have desires. We get distracted. But I think we have proper desires as Christ followers. Because we want to follow Christ. We want to bring our brothers with palsy to Christ. We want to do more than just glorifying God. We want to have compassion and bring people to Jesus. Well, that's what we want. So Matthew, right? So I don't care what kind of label you put on anybody in our culture. I don't think there's any worse label than a tax collector. And Jesus calls him. And what's the first thing Jesus does, Matthew do? He throws a party. He throws a party. Like he probably always throws a party. What else does tax collector do with all their money? They eat good food. So he throws a party with all the normal people. Maybe this thing was already scheduled. Oh, Jesus, I want to follow you now. Hey, by the way, I'm supposed to have a bunch of friends over. Great. Don't cancel. I'm coming over. What? Do you realize how big of a deal that would have been? Do you think Matthew was like sweating like the Messiah's coming over? He creates space. Jesus just creates space and enters into space. And he's having this meal and he's helping those who are sick and sharing them with them forgiveness and mercy and truths and knowing their story and knowing their pain. Right, we want to be those disciples. We want to be those followers who together as a band. Right, together as a band of brothers, together as a group, enter into some messy situations. Right, there would be right. He sends everybody out in twos. So there, I've heard people use, oh, I'm going to this bad, maybe this place they shouldn't go to for the gospel. You went by yourself. There were no fruits, so I'm not giving. There's reasons for protection, right? I think of my kids. I think of reasons of protection. But we need to enter, what I'm trying to say is, I think we need to enter the messy places. I think that's what the scripture is telling us. We need to enter into the messy places. You want to go deeper? You want to go deeper in God's word? Then get messy. It's not going to be, listen, I'm not, it's going to be more than just gaining knowledge of God. Knowledge of God is good. We just read that in Hosea. That's what God wants. And we need to keep doing that. We need to do that regularly. But you're going to get more, if you want to go deeper than God, it's not going to happen just in these four walls. Through Bible studies, through better sermons, through more clear communicated sermons. That's not going to get you deeper. It's going to be getting messy. About three things come to my mind how we can get messier. I'm not going to share them. Let's create space. We know the Holy Spirit's here because He promises to be here. It's whether we allow Him to work in our lives. Pause for a moment and think about how you can get messier, how you can be about God's word, about healing the sick, the widows, the widowers, the orphans. Who are our orphans of the today? You want to go deeper, get messier. We do not want to be like the Pharisees. So the contrast of compassion here. Here is Christ having a lot of compassion. This is what the Pharisees should be all about. Wanting of all of Judea and Israel to be coming closer to God. And yet they are full of wrath, full of jealousy, wanting to hold their position. Jesus says, I'm not willing to go into that house. So obviously he's wrong. We do not want to be the Pharisees in this story. We do not want to be the Pharisees saying, why did your master eat with publicans and sinners? We keep ourselves pure. To keep yourself pure isn't by rubbing shoulders with sinners and publicans. According to Matthew 9. goes pretty fast here, the next section, 14 through 17. Then came the disciples of John. That's a good group of people saying, hey, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come, the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in it will fill up, and taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So then we got another group here. Do they have compassion? Do John's friends, disciples, have compassion? No, they got jealousy. Hey, I'm fasting, I'm being righteous. Why aren't your guys being righteous? Stop. Let's stop looking. Isn't like Romans 14 and Romans 12 what we were taught about when it comes within our brotherhood? This is kind of like within our brotherhood type sermon. Stop. If it's a real problem, go have a direct conversation. If you got a real problem or a real hurt, go have a direct conversation. And then I think he's talking about how the Christianity in the New Testament is new here in the second section. I don't want to get distracted from the theme of compassion, but it's new. It's not taking Judaism and patch it on Christianity, right? That's not what this is. This is Christianity. This is new wine in a new bottle. This is a new cloth with new garment, with new thread. And then we can read, we're not going to read it together, and he goes and he heals. The ruler in 18 through 26 comes, and what does Jesus do? In verse 19, and Jesus arose and he followed him, and so did his disciples. And right, they're going to heal the girl, and then he gets stopped, the woman with the blood issue, and he heals her, and so goes and raises the girl from the dead. Verse 19, Jesus arose and followed him. Does your compassion allow you to rise up and go? Or is your compassion contained? Is your compassion, is it contained? Is it so containable? Our compassion should grow through knowledge of God's word, through experiencing his mercy personally, should grow so much it's almost like a super, like it can't be contained. Is there something that, what's a good example, right? How could I communicate that? Something that can't be contained. A thunderstorm can't be contained. Right? You got some molecules, and sometimes a rain shower can be kind of contained, but when it grows so big, it just explodes out. So powerful, it can't be contained, that you have to go. You have to have the shoes of the gospel on your feet, and you just have to go. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Thanks, Joe. Awesome scripture this afternoon. This is such a fascinating chapter. If you noticed, one, it's you know, I was smiling. It's funny. Matthew sticks himself in his own story, right? Matthew's writing the gospel, and he says, "By the way, there was this man. He saw a man named Matthew. That was me, sitting in the receipt of custom." He starts to tell his own story, and the fascinating thing is, remember who Joe brought out in this chapter? Who did Jesus have compassion on? Sick people. People with diseases. People that were, and eventually you come to a dumb man who couldn't speak and was possessed with the devil. The girl who was dead, they thought, right? Or was dead. And then, you know, Matthew is so interesting. He sticks himself in the story. There's a reason he sticks himself in the story. Matthew's entire purpose is to show us how compassionate, how loving, how gracious God is. Because he says, he did it to me. Okay? And the what he did with this telling of this story, he puts himself in a chapter full of healing sick people. Matthew wasn't sick. Or was he? Okay? Or was he? We've got these actual sick people. And he's like, as he's telling the story, he's like, Jesus did this. And then he went and he did this. And then he went to this guy and he did this. And by the way, there was this guy named Matthew. And then he tells that kind of quick story. And he's like, and there was another sick person and another sick person. Oh, and while he was on the way to this girl who was dead, there was another lady, right? And it's just like, bam, bam, bam. He's telling, Jesus did all these things. But in there is this story of himself. And what's fascinating, it says, when he went and as Joe pointed out, he went and he hung out with these people and he had meals with them. He went to their parties, their gatherings. And they said, why is this guy doing this? Why is your master hanging out with these people that are terrible? They're pathetic, right? And it's, as he pointed out, the publicans and sinners, right? Why would he do that? And what did Jesus say? Again, he's not sitting with the sick of the palsy and the crippled at this point in time. But he says, they that be whole, whole as in healthy, don't need a physician, but those that are sick do. Right? Wait a minute, he's not sitting with the sick people. Or is he? Right? Matthew makes this awesome point to say, Jesus has compassion on the physically sick. And watch, bam, 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 bam. He does these miracles, right? And he shows us those stories. And then he says, oh yeah, by the way, he also has compassion on the spiritually sick. And the scary thing is, as he pointed out, we can't be the Pharisee in the story. And the Pharisee in the story says, I'm not sick. I don't need a physician, right? It's probably the most dangerous place to be spiritually that we could be. And what you have to remember is the publicans and sinners were only hated by the Jewish religious people. Okay? And so we have to be careful that we don't, as Joe said, look in the community, look in our culture, look in our cities and say, ugh, ugh, ugh. It's those guys. It's those people, right? It's that group. We don't need, right? I'm healthy, but man, those people are sick. And Jesus says, yep, that's who I came for, right? So the question is, do we have compassion like that? Will we have compassion like that? Will we look at our cities and our culture and say, I'm going to get messy, as Joe said. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be involved. I'm going to help someone. I'm going to be the one who somebody says, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but you know, this is going on in my family and da-da-da. And there we are. We have opportunity, right? You got to get messy, though. We can't sit here and look good and not go out and get messy and do what Jesus did, right? That's what we're called to do. So God bless the word. We've had an awesome day today, and we'd ask a brother to select a hymn, and then one of you can pray.
Our reverence loves creation. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you at the close of this Sunday, and thank you for the opportunity we had to be able to spend time in church and hear your word, and for those that brought it forth to us today. And we just thank you for the sermon this afternoon on compassion, and help us to be willing to go out to others and be willing to open our lives up to them and get a little messy and to spread your gospel and love to those around and bring others to you. And we just thank you so much for this Indy Church and for the love they show in us and for opening up their arms to us. And we just thank you for Jesus and his shed blood on Calvary's cross to make it possible that we could spend life with him and have some time. We just pray that you'd continue to help us throughout these coming weeks, that we could spread your love and be lights and examples for you to all we're around. In Jesus' name, amen.